Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available. But if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
Good evening and welcome to the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome here in for Matt Beadle today, who has phoned in sick, so I'm the late injury replacement. Luckily, my hamstrings are working today. I don't know what's going on with Matt. He's probably pulled something, isn't he? Probably too rigorous exercise. He's in shape. He's in too good a shape. This is the thing. Don't exercise. You won't get sick. That's what I say. Joined in the studio by the No One Likes Us talking team. We've got Ted Robinson and Stan Goodwood here. We've also got guest Jackie Knight and her son, Sam Gardner. Now, we're going to kick off the show on a slightly sombre note because today we were saddened to hear of the passing of former Millwall manager George Petchy. He was in charge at the Old Den from January 1978 to November 1980. Of course, our condolences to his family and friends. Guys, in terms of George Petchy, what's his legacy on the club? What's he leaving behind?
I think his main legacy when he came in, Stan, correct me if I'm wrong, he won, I think, the last six games to keep us up one season, which made him a little bit of a hero, but I think he went down a little bit after that, because Millwall fans tend to be a bit split about what they think about George Petchy, but at the end of the day, we did win the FA Youth Cup under his tenure as well. So.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, them six games, I mean, there was, you know, at the time, it was looking dire.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
all of a sudden, he was like a Lazarus. He resurrected it all. And we ended up staying up. And as Ted said, then there was his side with the youth team. I think one of his big problems was is that he sold, as I understand it, he sold Trevor Lee.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor Lee at the time was a bit of a cult hero down at Millwall, and he was never really forgiven for doing that. You know? So, but anyway. Yep. But condolences to his family.
Yep.
And yeah, again, condolences. Now, just to tell you why we heard a Gambian school singing the No One Likes a song at the start of the hour. A little bit different is because in the studio we do have Jackie Knight, and we'll be talking a bit more about it later. Jackie has been over in Gambia, going to a number of schools, and of course, she had to just teach them. Going to one school, she had to just teach them how to sing some Millwall songs. So we got a recording just to start the show today. Let's talk about the weekend's result. 0-0 against Stoke City. A red card. Millwall's performance under Gary Rowett, massive improvement now. I think it's two losses in the 14 since he's taken over. Moving up the table. You must be happy as Millwall fans. Now, I know a 0-0 against struggling Stoke isn't great, but with a red card, you know, you'll take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's typical of me. I was a Millwall fan. I was Millwall fans in general, I think. As well as he's done, I still think they can do better. But to talk about the red card, we was just talking outside, me and Sam, about the way that the clash happened. He turned himself, Sean Williams, which meant it looked like he led with his arm. I don't think he did. But I think if he'd have stayed straight on and just clashed with a guy face on, I think it would have been a yellow card. But I can see why the referee in this day and age has given that as a red card.
Yes. So, Sam, let's bring you in here because Gary Rowett said he didn't mean it and they're going to appeal the red. Do you think they've got a case?
I don't believe so. Ted just said, in this day and age, a tackle like that, it's serious foul play or dangerous play. So I don't think they will, if I'm being quite honest. It's a struggle for us because that's where we're really short at the moment. So it's probably the most important position for us presently,
isn't it? One person we didn't want to lose and we've lost him, which is making it very difficult, yeah.
Great opportunity for Mitchell potentially, though, you know.
Possibly, yeah.
That's right. I mean, the result against Stoke, I mean, OK, it was a draw, but it was a good result because this time last season, we'd have probably lost it.
Yeah, in terms of the overall performance, happy. Yeah. I know it wasn't the best game of football, but... You know, and no nil-nil ever is, but you're still just off the playoffs. In terms of that whole performance against Stoke City, going into the game, would you have been happy to come out with a point and with the performance that the team gave?
Yeah. I think it was more important for Stoke to win than us because of obviously the position that they're in. And it was always going to be a tough game. Stoke at home, a tough game. And when you look at Miles, they've still got a lot of Premier League players from last season in amongst them, you know. And it's been a bit of a mystery to me why they haven't really done well at all this season, Stoke. They seem to really be struggling. But having said that, they have just picked up, typical as they come along to play Millwall, they seem to have got into the best form they've had all season and that. But these are decent players, you know. Joe Allen could probably still walk into a Premier League side, you know. So it was always going to be difficult, a bit of a dour game, but then the conditions weren't great. But we got a point.
Joe, you know, you mentioned Joe Allen, Ted. I mean, that's true. I mean, he's a quality player. I mean, you know, a few years ago when he was playing for Swansea, I mean, he was being quoted in the same breath as Perlo of Italy. You watch him and he just don't give the ball away. Give the ball away, right? And Stoke, I mean, you know, they are... The trouble is with Stoke, I just think when they come down, they like a lot of these clubs from the Premier League, they come down and they thought they were going to go straight back up. Well, it don't always work out like that. And they've struggled. And
I think they underestimate the Championship, if I'm honest.
A lot of teams do, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you think actually, in part, sometimes it's easier to come up into the Championship from League One because you're up for it and you're expecting a harder game than coming down from the Premier League where everything, you know, it's sort of the Pamper League, League, isn't it?
It's momentum as well. Isn't it?
Momentum takes you, that's exactly right.
It just goes to show, you know, the run that we've been on recently.
Yeah.
That's momentum. It's players close-knit, playing for each other, which these clubs like Stoke that have got multi-million pound players still in their team, there's no camaraderie. Yeah. They're all individuals, and that's why these teams struggle and they don't go straight back up.
Yeah.
You know,
and we've got a bit of confidence going on. But look, you're right about coming up, though, Miles, because if you look at Charlton at the start of the season, they was off on a run straight away. Thankfully, that's come to an end. And they started to roll back the other way. But no, it does help when they come... When you come up the division, I do think a bit more than coming down. And also, there is a little bit with these sides that come down that you can see it in the players that they don't genuinely think they should be there.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. They think I'm a Premier League player and I should be still back up there. You've got to fight for every point in the Championship. Nobody will give you anything. Even the likes of Barnsley that were down in the bottom and that, who beat us the other day, you know, when they was... I think they might have even been bottom
a bogey team to us anyway.
I mean, that's enough of Barnsley.
I mean, the classic club in the Championship that always falls down because they think they ought to be in the Premier League and they shouldn't be in the Championship are Leeds United.
Yeah.
I mean, even when they was in Division 1, they used to strut around and as if to say, well, what are we doing here? Yeah. You know, they've got it. And if you watch them now, you just watch the way they carry on.
It's already started.
Yeah, it's right. They think they should be in the Premier League.
Well, let's talk about Mahoney's performance. Fans have complained that he went missing. Substitute on 61 minutes. He says he needs to improve his technical side. What did you think of his performance?
There's nothing wrong with Conor Mahoney's technical ability. I'll get your teeth back in. he showed that against Luton. I think Conor Mahoney has to look at himself because the only person stopping Conor Mahoney from being a real, very good Championship player is himself. Mm. He's got everything there is to be a top-class player, and I would even say he's got enough ability to be in a Premier League. But at the moment, he seems to wander through games sometimes, you know. He came on with a flash of brilliance at Luton and showed what he can do. And then at Newport, when we played Newport, he had a decent game, you know. But I've seen him in the past, when he starts games, he tends to drift through games rather than putting himself out there to be involved in games. It's as if he lets it pass him by. It's as if he's in a little bit of a daze at times. I mean, if I was Gary Rowett, that would frustrate the hell out of me, because you've got a very good player there that's just not doing it enough.
Mm. Is he the type of player that, if he does turn up, these draws could turn into wins?
Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, Gary Rowett said the other week, when he said before, it was before the Luton game, he gave an interview, and he was in the Southwark News. And Gary Rowett said, he'd come to see me, Conor Mahoney, we had a good chat. And what he basically saying with Gary Rowett, he said to Conor Mahoney, what you've got to do is impose yourself on the game. He said, I've got no argument with your ability, you just got to impose yourself on the game. Well, because when he came on against Luton, you thought, right, here we go, we're up and running. And, because last season, I mean, he wasn't at Millwall last season, but his performances, I mean, he was rated one of the best crossers of the ball in the Championship and all this sort of thing. So,
it started well for him as well. You know, him and Matt Smith, it looked like the first couple of games of the season, they were going to create a partnership where he was going to just be putting it into Smith all the time, and
Sam,
he disappeared.
If you got Matt Smith on the pitch, the guy you want out there is Conor Mahoney, because he's the guy that can put a cross in without a doubt. Right, you know, it's just a strange. I don't know why it's not really happening with him, but he's proved when he's come on, he won the game against Luton for us. At the end of the day, we were struggling a little bit, although he was the better side. We were struggling to make it count. On he comes and scores that terrific goal, and then fantastic cross for Matt Smith to score. So we all know he's got it.
Yeah, let's move on to some transfer talk. Millwall and Ipswich both reported to be sorting out a deal to keep Bielkowski. Sorry about my pronunciation. Bielkowski is all right. Have I got there?
Bark to us.
Keeping Bark to beyond the end of the season. Important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what if you lose him? How do you think you recover from that? Is there a player you want to bring in?
I don't think we're going to lose him, because, I mean, I was reading him today in the paper, and he was saying that he's more than happy to stay at Millwall. That's where he wants to be. Apparently, the there was a clause in the, when he come over, about he could return to Ipswich. That's gone.
With us to the end of the season, whatever.
And there's discussions going. And I see it today, and I put it on Twitter. And I won't actually say the word that I use, but I said to me, well, look, get your finger out.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I think he will be there. And it's ironic, really, because originally he was the first goalkeeper we signed. And then the deal fell down. And then we got in Frankie Fielding, and then he come back and he was on the bench. I mean, 25 minutes in the opening, Frankie Fielding goes off, and he got in, and he's been the number one ever since. No, he'll be there next season.
He's been brilliant.
Yeah, and I've been saying ever since then, because we pulled out after the medical on him for the transfer, it was all done and dusted. We pulled out, we weren't sure. We've taken him on loan. I'd have been absolutely amazed at Millwall Football Club if they haven't put some sort of deal in position that if it all worked out, we're going to get it. That's the way of Millwall at the moment. They loan a player in, if it fits, they buy him. Seems to be enough. And the way that the Bart deal went about, see, I said Bart there, not even attempting that surname. But with Bart, I'm sure that there'll be something in place that we don't have to do anything to the end of the season now. I'm sure it'll all get done, Miles.
Now, missed out on the loans of Jack Clark and Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, they're no good anyway.
Both Billy Mitchell and McCarthy are tipped to be heading out on loan as well. What do you think about the potential loans there going out of the club?
Sam just mentioned about Billy Mitchell, because at the end of the day, he's the only other midfielder we've got at the club at the moment. But I think Billy Mitchell would advance his career if he actually went out on loan. I'm not sure he's quite ready for the Championship. I'm going on the back of watching him against Newport, and I love to see young players coming in. The problem is, with a young player like Billy Mitchell coming in, we've got another young player in Jason Malumbi alongside him. Oh. And I just think that there needs to be in the Championship a older head there, if you know what I mean. And we've lost Ben Thompson. We needed a midfielder before what happened to Sean Williams. So I think something will be done. But for him, I think it would be a good move if we can get somebody else in for him to go out.
Yeah, let's just quickly talk about Mason Bennett and Ryan Woods. Mason Bennett from Derby, who's a forward, and midfielder Ryan Woods from Stoke. Both linked, both being managed by Gary Rowett in the past. Are these good signings? Are these areas you think you need to strengthen?
I personally think Bennett, no. But Wood, I saw him probably, two or three years ago, run the show down the Den for Brentford. Yeah. And I thought, how have a team like Brentford got a player like that, and we can't attract a player like that.
Yeah,
so
right,
for
yeah,
that, for me, he's got to be the one.
But then, that's right. I mean, but I think the problem's been with somebody like that is because the style that we play.
Yep.
And that's in midfield, that's the problem. I mean, they used to stand there watching the ball go over the head all the time. And as you say, he controlled it. But apparently they're in talks now. There's talks ongoing with Stoke about getting him down. And there was a guy I know on Twitter, and he mentioned about that performance against Brentford.
He run the game.
For me, like Sam just said, and Sam backed up, it'd be a major coup to get Ryan Woods, because I generally thought that guy, well, he went to a Premier League side at the time. He was such a quality performance, like Sam said. He stood out a mile. And if we could get him in playing like that, we'd have a real good chance of making the playoffs. Yeah, I know I'd say it sooner or later.
All right, just before we hit the break, Rocky Millwall Burston from just off the Old Kent Road needs your help. Rocky and his family are trying to raise money for Macefield's residential care home, which is located in Swindon. They're doing this so they can update the sensory room for those who live there. Why they are doing this, Rocky explains, we're supporting this cause because a very special person, our son, a brother, an uncle who was very close to us, had cerebral palsy and lived at the care home for 12 lovely years with these other amazing lads and the fantastic staff who all had their personal little bond with them. Unfortunately, our Gareth passed away on the 23rd of October 2019 at just the age of 32. He was a special little man who had a massive impact on everyone who knew him, and because of Gareth's experience, we would like to give something back to the care home by supporting something the lads can enjoy and would most definitely benefit from. So if you can kindly help and donate as much or as little as you can, this will make a massive difference by ensuring these lads continue to have a place where they can unwind, watch the lights, listen to music, handle sensory objects, relax and let their minds wander. You can help by going to the page set up by Gareth's sister Chantel, justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Chantel-Cox. That is spelt Chantel Cox. Once again, justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Chantel-Cox. Many thanks to Rocky Millwall Burston and his family. Up next, we're going to bring Jackie in because she's going to explain all about the Gambian Lions. This is Love Sport London.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. As you can see, it's very exciting in the studio. We've got a packed studio today. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the team from the No One Likes Us Talking team. Ted Robinson's here and Stan Goodwin. We've got Jackie Knight here and son Sam Gardner as well. Right, so we heard from Jackie on a number of occasions since she discovered a school in the Gambia whilst on holiday. Taught them to sing Millwall songs, engaged with the staff and returned on a mission for Millwall shirts, boots and educational books for the school. Her ambition saw Jackie secure a great amount of items and also the free services of a national carrier to ship the goods out to Gambia. Millwall fans supported her return trip so she could ensure everything arrived at the school. We called her Mrs. Santa and she heads back to the Gambia in December again, which with what was donated, all in all, in just over 6 months, Jackie has completed her challenge.
This is where I pretend I don't know you, Jackie. But anyway, it is great to meet you.
It seriously is.
And
thanks for inviting me on.
What a challenge. And how did it go when you went out to Gambia in December?
What? It went according to plan.
It did?
Yeah, my networking paid off in the last 6 months. So, yeah, it all went according to plan. And it was very, very exciting. And I was totally overwhelmed by just the reception I got there, the love I felt. And yeah, it was amazing. I was totally overwhelmed by just how it all came together, really. you know.
A bit like we was overwhelmed when we see him singing it. I must admit, I remember starting to watch that and thinking, well, what's this? And then all of a sudden, out they say, that's brilliant. I had to check. I was actually trying to lip read to see if they was actually singing it.
It was so just, it was so organically produced. I just went for a wedding, having been to Kenya with my son before, like 20 years ago, and we taught the kids out there a load of, well, Sam did a load of songs. obviously, there weren't social media then. I know, I've got it. I've got the video at home. I'm going to get it.
We heard them at the start of the show as well, singing No One Likes Us. I tell you what, some good little voices there. Did you have them? Did you have the pitch pipe out? Did you have them hitting the notes?
No, that first, when I went into that classroom, they never heard me, you know, never heard me at all. It was Manchester United, Liverpool that they supported. And the teacher I literally had 2 minutes to say, can I sing this song? And I quickly, like, you know, sang it to him. And yeah, they just picked it up like that, just like that.
Yeah, we saw you on QTV, the Gambian TV channel. Sailed through the interview. How'd you find it? Easy?
I arranged that, didn't I? I did find it easy, but I'd just been crying. I'd been in the head teacher's mistress's arms because I was so overwhelmed by the hundreds of people that had turned out, and the kids and the parents and the obviously the press and the elders of the village. It was all going on, and so I was really quite overwhelmed. So I'd literally just come out of the headmistress's arms because I was crying like a baby. And then, yeah, the microphone, I was like straight in my face. It was like, oh, wow, okay. But, yeah, no, it was great. It was great to be able to just get that out there for the school as well. On the TV.
I've got this vision there, Jackie, that the whole of Gambia will be sitting there in Millwall shirts before long if you carry on going off. You know,
they're listening to this show tonight. I've got a lot of people listening to this show tonight.
Listen, I'm going to come out and see you because you're not quite hitting the notes right. I mean, you
know. Yeah, we need to start calling it Love Sport London and Gambia, now.
Yeah.
doing lots of, well, there's obviously the association between Chono Samba, a former Gambian international who was educated at St Joseph's Academy in Blackheath and who was with Millwall between 2000 and 2004 before joining Cadiz. He featured on QTV prompted by your help in doing what you did. So is the name Millwall now implanted in Gambia as we talk on Love Sport London / Gambia?
I like to think we're a lot better known out there now because there's at least 200 plus T-shirts out there with No One Likes Us parading through Bidgeloo and what have you. Yeah. So I'd like to think that word spreads.
They don't get a police escort like we do wherever we go, right?
I mean, it might well be that it might be if they have a Christmas number one out there. I mean, that could be it, couldn't it, next year? No One Likes Us. I mean, that would, you know.
It's a bloody good idea, God, Sam. Yeah. Don't get me started.
The Gambian Christmas number one, No One Likes It. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? If we start the campaign now, we can get the rights, we can get it all sorted, can't we?
I'll do it in a couple of months.
Yeah. Like everything for Christmas is really sorted now, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, people are talking about it.
Yeah.
That's an idea there. When it comes to Chono Samba, I ended up going, I just followed my nose out there for the week. So the school teacher took me to a local, like to the Gambian Football Federation. I had no idea, and I said it to them, I don't know what I'm here, why I'm here, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. But I ended up with an hour meeting there, learning a lot more about how the transfer market works and blah, blah, blah. So it was worthwhile. It was all worthwhile. I learned a lot out there.
I think I've got to come out there with you. I'd love to see them kids.
Why don't you?
Let's go out there, Gambia. I don't know if Gambia's ready for me, but
I don't think they were ready for me, mate.
Are you ready for Gambia, though?
I don't know.
You'll be a legend to these kids now.
I'm just wondering if there's another song we can teach them. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Clean ones, though.
Of course, clean ones. But you've got me thinking about this Christmas number one there, Stan. What we could sort of adjust for a Millwall.
It's doable. Trust me, it's doable. I can do this.
How good's the kids' English, though?
Good, great, it's, fantastic.
We can't slip in the dirty ones.
No.
Can't get it past. So we've noticed that the British High Commissioner in Hyderabad is eager for Millwall to go there. Will you take the name of Millwall and, as you say, sending the Millwall love to other foreign fields?
Do you know what? I would love to be able to do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can only do that with the full support of Millwall Football Club. So, that, you know, that's where I'm done and dusted now in regard to that side of it. I have met the British High Commissioner of Hyderabad. I met him at a home game a couple of weeks ago and in the club queue. And, we arranged to meet, but we didn't realise he'd been in the club queue for so long. And he'd love me to go out there and do something. But the thing is, there's got to be more than just singing a Millwall song or two, because I went out there for a wedding. It was very organic how it all kind of just came about and blew up, you know. So there'd have to be a lot more. I'm leaving Gambia, leaving Children Connected with an Ashford Grammar School, my daughter's school, so they can have email pen pals. And, you know, I'd like to be able to do that. Yeah, of course I'd like to be able to do that. But I'd need support of the club. It's as simple as that. I can't just do this on my own.
Where are you going on holiday this year?
I've only booked Wales in a couple of weeks in Budapest.
Convert Wales.
They can sing.
They can sing all right.
Yeah, welcome in the valleys here,
don't
I'm sure.
Start, yeah.
I'm just sitting here wondering what no one likes us would sound like in Welsh. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's
another
that's
road
a good
to venture
shout.
Down.
Yeah.
Anything's possible, isn't it?
We spread Millwall as far as we can internationally. Every time someone goes on holiday now, you've set the bar, haven't you? You've taught a whole school how to sing the Millwall songs. That's the bar. You've got to beat it.
I've got to tell you, Miles, that's a bigger challenge for Jackie. Converting Wales and converting Gambia. Oh, that would be a major achievement. I don't know, really.
How much would it mean to some of these kids if, on the off chance, we could convince a player to try and get out there in the summer?
Well, this is why I went. Oh, well, a player.
Yeah, a Millwall player. Get a Millwall player out there.
Again, I'm going to repeat it.
Yeah.
That's where I need to support a Millwall Football Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, unless any players want to just contact me directly, you know, I can sort it for them.
This is a silly sort of question. They've got Sky Sports out there, haven't they? Are they now watching us on the old Championship coming up, the two games we got, West Brom and Fulham?
Well, you know, Aisha Smith, she sorted them out with iFollow. So if they've got a good enough... Yeah, she did.
She's
so
a good girl.
She is a great girl. And if they can get the good Wi-Fi connection out there, then they can tune in. But they haven't had the best connection at the moment.
No,
but they're all set up, password ready to go. So
my word, we're going worldwide, Millwall. Who knew it, Miles?
But you know, we've got fans all over the world. In every corner of the world, we've got fans. Yeah. So why not connect them?
Jackie, doesn't matter where I go in the world, I'll guarantee you I'll bump into a Millwall fan somewhere.
Yeah,
you think, what are you doing here? I don't know what I think like that, because I'm there. But
someone you recognise from the away end as well. Yeah. Hold on, I saw you last week.
Yeah, someone that was shouting at me.
Now, Jackie, before we wrap this up, there's probably too many people to mention in terms of who helped you out, but are there a couple you want to send a special shout out to? And what do you want to say to everybody that's helped you get there?
Okay, well, too many people. Right, I'm going to start with the fans first and foremost, because you know what? If it weren't for the fans, we wouldn't have the donations and I wouldn't have gone back to Gambia. So that's number one. And there's been some wicked fans out there that have helped me.
Yeah.
I won't name them all, but there's been certain individuals that have helped guide me and helped me taking days off work to move books around and whatnot. I'd like to thank DHL. I know they didn't want too much publicity, but too bad, Mike Cotter. I'm doing it now. And he's a West Ham fan, the vice president of DHL. I'd like to thank them because they flew out 250 kg for free for me just by asking.
They didn't make you fly in the cargo hold as well, though, did they?
I'd quite happily done that. So the fans, DHL. I'd also like to thank the Gambia Experience. They're a package holiday company that obviously are going to really, really go far now, because I think it was Thomas Cook. They used to fly out there. They're gone. So they actually, I only had £660 in my pot in the end, and my flight and package was like just under 1,000, and with a bit of manipulation, call it what you like. They brought it down.
Negotiation, not manipulation.
Anyone who knows me, there'd have been a little bit manipulation.
Yeah, he's right first time. Manipulation.
Yeah. I know me. But they helped me out, you know, as well, getting me out there, package deal, all for what was in my pot. So it made it possible. There are a couple of mentions. I'd just like to quickly say hello to all the kids.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to quickly say hello to Miss Landing Bar, Amadou, Mrs. Sanne, all the kids at Bidjalloo Lower Basic School, and my friend Mountain.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Do you know what, Miles? I felt like I was at the Oscars here, and it was such a speech.
It was. Thank you. It's a good thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good thing you kept it short. We didn't have the music coming yet to start wrapping you up and tell you to go. Up next,
brilliant.
It's a family fair in the studio today, because Sam, your son, is our fan in the dugout. So we're going to be talking all about Sam's experiences with Millwall. It's 9:30. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London. If you're after the West Bromwich Albion Fan Show, West Brom fans, head over to Love Sport Radio. Just change the dial. There should be two on your DAB radios now, Love Sport London and Love Sport Radio. If you're listening online as well, just switch over to Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport London. This is the Millwall Fan Show. Millwall fans, we want you to get in touch as well. 0208 70 20 558 is our number. You can call us or you can get us on WhatsApp at Love Sport Radio on the social media channels. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the No One Likes Us Talking team of Ted Robinson and Stan Goodwin. And we got guests. We've just heard Jackie Knight talking all about Gambia and promoting how we can promote Millwall worldwide. It's been Gambia. Next, it's going to be Wales, which is, you know, a slightly cheaper trip. It's just you can get there in the car. And now we've got our son, Sam Gardner, in the studio. So he is this week's fan in the dugout, home and off and away Millwall fan. Son, of course, of the industrious Jackie Knight. Sam first found fame on this show when he phoned in from a curry house where Sam, his mates and the curry house staff all sang a Millwall song for the show. Sam, welcome back into the studio. I'm told Jackie had been on the show that night too with our former host, Johnny Burrow. He likes to name drop himself in these. I'm sure he wrote this to make sure he got him in. Do you actually remember singing the song? Because it sounds like it was a bit of a boozy night with your mates down the curry house.
It was a very boozy night with our little Millwall lot of our post-season catch-up. Remember it more the next day. I haven't listened to it, or Mum forcing upon me to listen to it. No one really likes to hear their voice the next day, do they? Or when it's on record. But no, it just worked well. It was quite a funny evening.
And you had all the waiters up?
Very quickly, yeah. I said to one of them, come and sing a song with us. And before you know it, there was two of them there. Said, look, sing the words No One Likes Us, and there they were.
There's a common theme running through this family. Have you noticed it, Miles? Wherever they go, they get people to sing Millwall songs.
That's what we should look into.
Yeah. How many curry houses can you hit with Millwall songs? How many Chinese restaurants, pizza places?
Yeah. Well, you probably look at me. I'm not quite familiar with a few curry houses.
You're the man to do it.
Yeah, I reckon I can get a few more going. Yeah.
Mate, I when you walked in, I thought this is a guy who's on the keto. He's on the vegan diet. He's been doing
He's got me all wrong.
The gym. He's got to have all the gym staff singing the Millwall diets next.
Yeah, I won't be going down that road.
So we want to ask you a little bit about your most memorable game over the last decade, because you've been following the Lions everywhere.
Yeah, indeed. I thought about this one, and quite a few popped into my head on a couple of memorable games. I've got a number one. Leicester at home when we beat the champions with 10 men. That was a very good game, you know, a very good win late on. Charlton 4-4. That was a great game. Yeah. But I think the one that sticks out to me, and it's not just because it's in the last couple of years, but who it was against, the situation was the 4-3 at Leeds for me in the last 10 years. Yeah. For the fact that me and my pals that we mentioned had gone to every single away game leading up to that January the 20th, seen us give away many leads.
Yeah.
Pun, yeah. Non-intended there. And at 2-0 with Leeds at 10 men, we thought, surely we can't mess this one up. Boom, 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 3-2 Leeds. And then to win that 4-3, which then resulted in us winning 8 in a row away, was phenomenal against them as well. Yeah. So that's got to be my number one.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the way that it happened, the losing, and then, you know, against 10 men, I should say, and then actually Tom Elliott, who's just left the club, I would never give him any stick because he scored the equaliser in that game.
Do you know
as
what?
Much as I didn't think he was a great player, I wouldn't give him any stick.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's the only thing that I will remember him for.
No. I mean, you mentioned the Charlton, the 4-4. I mean, I remember the game very well, because to this day it still sticks in my claw because, you know, we were 2-0 up, right? And that referee, Jones, and I don't know if you know, every time we had that bloke, refereeing, we had trouble with him, every time, right? And he gave two penalties, sent off Jimmy Abdu with a red card, got rescinded. Right, and then Nicky Bailey, didn't he? Because he played for Charlton.
He scored a world against
He scored this brilliant goal, and I thought, I haven't witnessed losing to Charlton since 1968 January. It's the thought of it is just horrific. And then we're 3-2. Then we get back, don't we? And then I thought
4-3.
And then when I got out afterwards, and I got on the train, I was all these Charlton fans sitting, and they were just gayed.
Yeah,
gayed.
I had to go
over
to Charlton fan. I'm married to one.
Don't tell him. That's not allowed. Not allowed. Divorce straight away.
Get him singing No One Likes Us.
Well, we'll get our crosses to bear, Jack.
Sam, Gary Rowett, he's had a great start as a new manager of Millwall. Do you think this is going to continue? The rich vein of form is going to carry on that's evolved since he arrived?
Yes and no. I think it depends on what we do in the next 2 weeks in the transfer window. I don't expect Millwall to go and spend millions. However, there are certain areas that have to be reinforced at the moment. If we're to continue at this level, if not, you know, we could struggle. But then that struggle may take us down to mid-table, which we would have probably taken when he took over. It's trying to find that happy medium of where we should be and, you know, where we deserve to be, I believe.
Yeah, you, spot on, Sam. Spot on.
And you just mentioned the transfer window. We're 2 weeks in, 2 weeks to go. What positions do you want to see reinforced?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I think centre midfield right now, based on the current situation we're in, has to be. And we spoke about Ryan Woods. I think that would be a great signing. Striker, we've said it for a while. Bit of a controversial potential idea. Someone mentioned Lee Gregory, and at first I thought, no, because there was a little bit of rumours floating about. But it'd be interesting to see how he'd perform up front with Bradshaw under the style of football we're playing now. That would be the one thing that would interest me. It's not going to happen, but I was thinking about it today and I think that could have worked quite well.
Funny you say that, Sam, because when Bradshaw came, I thought that was going to be our pairing up front, and I thought that would work with Steve Morrison sort of slowly.
But not with the long ball, though.
No, I thought with Steve Morrison slowly sort of dwindling or coming to the end of what was his career, I really did see them two going to be a force for us up front. But as you quite rightly said, we wasn't playing the style that suited them, and it just never really matched. And it's a good point. It may work.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Because he holds it up very well. I think we've learnt Bradshaw's a bit of a better finisher.
Yes.
But he doesn't hold the ball up like Gregory.
No.
So it's not going to happen, but that's something that they intrigued me. Right.
When Gregory left Millwall, he played, what was it, 5 years he was there, wasn't it? Nearly 5 years.
Yeah, about that.
Okay, he'd done his time and he wanted to go back. And I remember when he come back against Stoke, and I remember watching him, and I thought to myself, you're at the wrong club. He's not the great, you know. Now there's all these talk rumours about him going or not going. Well, not just him, but I mean, I just think the transfer window's been slow anyway, isn't it? Because normally, I mean, like in the summer, I mean, you know, the transfer window opened on the Monday, and come like the Wednesday, because we hadn't signed six players, everybody was freaking out.
Yeah.
But now it hardly gets mentioned. It gets mentioned, but not to the extent it has been.
When isn't the transfer window slow for Millwall, eh? when do we ever start the transfer window?
Never falls, is it?
Sam, who's your favourite Millwall player at the moment?
Ben Thompson.
Easy answer.
He just epitomises Millwall. I think he's got the potential. After going on loan, when we were talking about Billy Mitchell earlier and how Ben Thompson come back as a different player, you'd like to think something similar could happen with Billy Mitchell. But yeah, Ben Thompson, he's got the potential to become a club legend, I think, in his era.
I was debating whether I thought Ben Thompson could actually perform at championship level, if
same,
I'm honest.
100%.
And then when he went away to Portsmouth, and like you quite rightly said, Sam, it shows you the benefit of what a loan spell can do. Kenny Jackett's a terrific guy to go and play under, by the way. And he brought the best out in Ben Thompson. And Ben brought his best game back with him that was improved upon what I thought was a decent, for want of a better way of putting it, I thought he was like a Jimmy Abdu type player, and he came back with someone who could pass a ball.
Taking on players, opening up the game.
And a lot more to his game than I even thought he had. And it was to our
surprising
benefit,
to see, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was really surprising.
Coming back, I do think Billy Mitchell would be benefit. Like that. I'm sure.
We've had a WhatsApp message in as well. Sam, for you, do you think we can make the playoffs? We've not got a name on that.
I think with the way the championship is this season, how everyone's picking up points against everyone, and there's probably about 12 points between about 12 teams, the logical answer has to be, of course, there's a chance. It's what we do in the next 14 days. And even if we don't buy, there's enough in our team, the camaraderie, the tight-knit squad, and the football we're playing now, to do it without that. Because there'll be other teams that spend money and drop off. So, definitely a chance.
I agree. On the form since the last, since Gary Howitt's been there, notwithstanding transfer windows, the playoffs is achievable.
Yeah.
We are capable of doing it, because whether we get there or not, there's another matter, but we're capable of doing it. No question.
It's achievable because the championship side-wise is much of a muchness. I don't think there's a lot in any of the sides, even the two that have sort of got away a little bit in Leeds and West Brom. They're not that far in advance of everybody else, and It works the other way, by the way. The sides at the bottom are quite capable of beating the sides at the top. So it is, as usual, things about consistency. And like Sam quite rightly said, we do have the players. Yeah. We've proved it, the run we've been on. We can keep this going. So,
well, speaking of players, home against Reading, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Three names that go on the team sheet first, and why?
Jed Wallace. You don't even have to say why for the moment. I mean, he's our star man at the moment. Bradshaw. I think he has to play. And I'll give two, because I'd say Bart, because, you know, he has been a standout performer for us. But I'm going to put one out there and say Billy Mitchell, because sometimes when it's thrown upon a player and he's getting an opportunity that's not expected, you see things that might not have happened if he... And I have a sly feeling, I'm ever the optimist, that he might just come in and surprise everyone a little bit and have that special game.
I was impressed with him against Newport. It's just when a young player like that comes in, could I see Billy Mitchell being in our midfield for the rest of the season?
No.
Could I see him in a one-off game against Reading doing it?
Yeah, exactly. That.
Sure. And he will gain a lot of experience from that. And he may well have to be that. And I hope and pray, if we don't get another midfielder in before then, it is Billy Mitchell that's playing. And he doesn't try to put... I see him mention Shane Ferguson or someone. Stick the boy in. He's a central midfield player. He always wanted the ball against Newport, which is brilliant. And let him have a go for one or two games if need be. Ryan Leonard's on his way back, so there's a little bit of experience.
Hopefully
get yourself another one in.
And just finally, before we talk about the Millwall legend, a score prediction against Reading.
Well, I can't go against me being ever the optimist. I'm going to go for 2-1 Millwall, even though I'm a little bit sceptical about this week.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Millwall legend. So this week proposed has been Tony Whitter. It's been proposed by Steve Wilson from the Lancashire Lion. Stan, can you give us your view on that quickly?
I wouldn't disagree with that. I remember watching Tony Whitter when he first played for Millwall. I was down at the game because he came in on loan, and at that time he was always playing in reserve team football. So unless you followed reserves, which not a lot of people do, right? And people were sort of saying, "Well, who's this Whitter bloke?" You know, because then he appears, and his first game he played about 70 minutes. Because he was centre half, and because by then he was a bit cream crackered, and when he went off, he got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
right. And every time I see him play after that, he was outstanding. And his problem was, which wasn't, you know, which was not of his making, when Billy Bonds comes in as the manager, he decided that he didn't think Whitter, you know, to quote the phrase, fitted his plans. But no, I've got no argument with Tony Whitter. I mean, in my opinion, he's a legend. And
legend for you?
Yeah, and he played really well when he was at Millwall.
Ted?
Well, when he stand it, the nail on the head there, he was a guy who came out of nowhere, and I don't think anybody really expected anything. And he did turn out to be... he was outstanding in every game he played, and you can't ask for much more than that from anybody that plays for you. He wasn't gifted, but what he was outstanding as a defender. He was one of the best one-on-one defenders I think I've ever seen. He was one of them sort of blokes that I can imagine a centre-forward would be going, "Get off me," and that sort of thing. Like, you know, you just couldn't get rid of him. But he was outstanding all the while he played for us, without a doubt.
Yeah. So legend or hero?
Semi-legend.
Semi-legend. So somewhere in between.
Yes.
All right, it's 9:47. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport London.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the No One Likes Us talking team of Ted Robinson and Stan Goodwin. We've also had Jackie Knight and son Sam Gardner in studio today. Now, Lioness bosses Colin Reid told us last week they faced Dunstable Women at the weekend. After that match, Colin told us the game was another fantastic result, ending in a 1-0 away win, and remembering it was against opposition from a higher level. I am, of course, very pleased for the players, especially especially considering our squad was somewhat diminished through illness, injuries and some players just being unavailable at the moment. We started well, playing against the wind in very blustery conditions, and we established control of the game by restricting our opponents to very few, if any, chances in the first half. As for us, we could have gone in 2-0 up with a couple of missed half chances which fell to Millie Connell and Molly Hawkins. This could have given us some breathing space for the second half, when we would be playing with a strong wind in our favour. In the second half, we started slowly, surprisingly our opponents had a spell on the front foot, and we play and the play was mostly in our half for the first 10 to 15 minutes. Our earlier momentum and domination returned, and after several good opportunities which we missed, we were awarded a direct free kick from 25 plus yards out, which Shannon Drew converted, and she has done, as she has done so many times from distance this season, a bit like Jed Wallace then. Just a little bit. We went on to maintain our lead, but we were well worth our win, and we now face very stiff opposition in Harlow, who top their division. Reflecting on the game, this was a very good and well-deserved result, especially considering we only had a bare 11, which is a concern, and that is why we need to recruit and bring in a few new faces to freshen it up. We're looking forward to a break at the weekend, as our intended opposition have a cup game, so we now have an extra training session and six or seven trialists attending as well. We would also welcome the opportunity to invite any players who may be interested in attending to contact the club, as this is a great opportunity to join a team who are top of the league through to the quarterfinals of the cup, who have a great facilities and are looking to move up the pyramid for sure. Great result for the Lionesses, Colin, and we appeal to listeners, if you are or know a girl or woman that can, urge them to contact the Lionesses for a trial.
There you go, Jack. Trial with the Lionesses.
She'd probably better at rugby, to be fair.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, let's look ahead to the game this weekend. Millwall, Reading at the Den. Matt Smith has been... Cole Bates, sorry, of Millwall I Follow, says Matt Smith has been directly involved in 8 goals in 11 appearances at the Den in all competitions. 5 goals and 3 assists. Cole's possibly expecting Matt to add to his tally against the Royals. However, Reading have made great progress in the league and cup of late. In the last 6, they've defeated QPR at home, had 2 away wins at Preston and Fulham, drew and then won away at Blackpool in the FA Cup, and held Nottingham Forest to a credible draw at the Majeski in between the cup games. It all makes for a challenging game ahead, but surely the Lions will want to avenge that 2-1 defeat from back in November.
Oh, obviously. I mean, listen, we always fancy ourselves at home, unless they're the team that we're playing are actually really at the bottom of the table. Then nobody fancy. But Reading are a formed side. They're one of the best forms recently since Mark Bowen took over. He's really transformed them, because they were struggling quite badly. So it's going to be tough, as every game is. But listen, I fancy us, especially Matt Smith. Matt Smith, I think, is always worth a go at home, in my opinion, because of the way we fans like to see ourselves playing. But you have to play to Matt Smith. Matt Smith is only good for one thing, which is when the ball comes across in the air, get your head on it, Matt Smith. I think I would, because I like the alternatives that we got. If it's not working with Matt Smith, we can change it to the other sort of way that we play, you know. But I've seen a bit of Reading, and I think we could cause some problems by getting the balls into the box.
I mean, you're right. I mean, the irony of it all is that when we played Luton, and Conor Mahoney put that cross in for Matt Smith. I mean, if he was putting... I mean, they are the sort of balls that somebody like Matt Smith, you know, would pray for in every game. Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of... If you're going to play Matt Smith, you know, that's the sort of service you've got to give him. Not keep sending him down the middle to try and win the ball. Because it's a waste. You want him on the end of crosses
into
that's
the
coming
box.
Into the box. That's where you want him. And... No, I mean, Carl Bates, I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Carl, and you know, and when I listen to what you read out, and I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I have to say, and I think we can win the game tomorrow at Leeds anyway, because, you know, QPR, well, they're a bit hit and miss, aren't they? I mean, last week they got well turned over by Brentford, so although they beat QPR, I mean...
I think
there's no great shakes.
I think I'd have Tom Bradshaw alongside him, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Definitely, because I think he is the best finisher in the club. my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like the look of them when they play together a little bit the other week. So, yeah, that'd be my front two.
Is there anything you're worried about from Reading's perspective?
Yeah, they've been playing well.
They're in form. Yeah, they're in form.
Yeah. No, they're
certainly not their fans.
No, no. Reading, again, they have got some decent players down there at Reading, you know, and it was a little bit of a surprise that they were struggling the way they was. And it was a massive decision for Bowen to take on because he was a footballing director, wasn't he? So he basically sacked the manager and put himself in there. But I'm not surprised that they're getting better, but I do think they're a little bit fragile at the back.
Mm. Should we do some score predictions then? Let's start with you, Stan.
I would say 3-1 Millwall.
3-1 Millwall. Confident, Ted?
Confident, and I'm in Sam's boat here. I'm saying 2-1. I think we might concede one, but I think we'll win 2-1.
Yeah, and Sam said 2-1. Jackie, I know you're more about spreading the love for Millwall, but let's bring you in with a score prediction as well.
2-0 and go all out.
2-0.
2-0. 2-0.
just quickly before we leave, we have had a listener text in. Tony's got us on WhatsApp. He's just said to ask Sam, what's the best game you ever played for the Millwall Academy?
Oh, this is funny because my mates are going to be listening to this now. And whenever we've had a beer and we're on away day, I always tell them about how I scored a goal from a goal kick in my last seven-a-side year and won against Watford 1-0. And not one of them believes me. And I've tried to get Tony to clarify it before. And he might have helped me out here because they're all going to be cringing listening to this now because they still don't believe me.
Brilliant. It was true.
Mum can clarify.
Yeah, I can clarify.
So you did score it?
Yeah. From a goal kick.
From a goal kick. Mum's clarified, so all the mates now can be like, it's
they
confirmed.
Before they let me go and broke my heart, yeah.
They've got to let someone go, haven't they? That's it. Thank you so much, guys. That's the Millwall Fan Show. We've had great fun. Wow, it's gone so quickly. It's been such a packed hour. Thanks to the No One Likes Us Talking team, Ted Robinson and Stan Goodwin, of course. Thanks to Jackie Knight spreading the word, spreading Millwall.
Wells can't wait.
Yeah. And, of course, thank you to Sam. That's all we've got time for. Next up, we'll be doing the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. We're just coming up to 9 o'clock. This is Love Sport London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.